All right, so Psalm 40 is where we are. We were kind of walking through Psalm 40, kind of taking it verse by verse. Every once in a while, we'll grab a couple verses, but today we're not going to get very far. We're going to get to verse 4. Verse 4. And so in honor of the Word of God, let's do this. Let's stand. I want to read verses 1 to 4. I want to pray, and we will dive in. Is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. Verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And our text for today is, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that we're able to gather this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the songs that we sing and the songs that we sang to you. Lord, just how just the words of those songs line up perfectly with the things that we're going to be talking about this morning. Lord, I can't imagine that we're completely focused right now. So, Lord, I pray that we would be able to put off the things of this world, the things that are consuming our thoughts and our minds, and maybe even our hearts. Lord, that we would just slow down and just sit under the teaching and preaching of your word. Lord, that we would be engaged. Lord, that we would be listening in intent, coming with expectancy for you to speak into our lives. Lord, I need this message. And Lord, if I need it, I know there's others in the room that need it as well. So, Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified as we get into your word here in Psalm 40. Lord, please expound your scriptures to us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, Mason did a great job last week from what I could hear. And he was in Psalm 1, and I thought it was interesting. Psalm 1, you know, deals with the word blessed. Psalm 40 and verse 4 deals with the word blessed, and he and I were texting back and forth a little bit this week. How cool is that? I think God is trying to get a hold of us and has something specifically for us as a church. And so today's message is simply titled Blessed But Miserable. And unfortunately, when I come to the scriptures, there's a lot of times where I read a passage of scripture and I read the inverse of it. So if it says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, well, the inverse of that would also be true, right? So you're going to be miserable if you don't make the Lord your trust. Would you all understand that? Does that make sense? And so he's dealing not necessarily with lost people here. He's dealing with those who would say, yes, I know the Lord. Those who are believers. I understand the dispensational time frame. I understand we're not dealing with salvation by grace when we're reading Psalm 40. And yet he's dealing with God's people. And unfortunately, some of God's people don't understand just really how blessed they are. Can I get an amen? A lot of God's people don't understand just how blessed they are. And maybe you as a parent have said that to your kids. You just don't understand how blessed you have it, right? Just how good you have it. Maybe you've said those things. Well, allow God to say that to you this morning. And so I want to read something very slowly. I want to make sure that we get this. He says, blessed is, notice the next two words, that man. Okay, we'll come to that in a second. That maketh the Lord his trust. Notice how it's worded. It doesn't say who maketh or who trusts in the Lord. It doesn't say that. It says who maketh the Lord his trust. Interesting way of putting that. We'll unpack that here pretty quickly. And then he takes it a step further and respected not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So we're just going to unpack this slowly. We're going to work our way through this. Compare a miserable person with a blessed person. Look at a couple cross-references, and as Alan Shelby says, we'll get a healing and we'll get out of here, right? We'll get after it, and then tonight we're going to gather up out at the Endicott. Is the address on the bulletin? I didn't look. So thank you. You have it. Some of you have been there. Most of you have been there. Some of you haven't. Man, come. It's a blast. We have a great time, and I don't touch fireworks, but I like to watch them from a distance. And so thank you for all of you who are doing that. All right, so let's dive right into this. He says, blessed is that man. Here's your first point for study. Is that miserable people are immature. Miserable people are immature. Well, where in the world do you get that? Well, pay attention to this. It says, blessed is that man. When you see that phrase, that man, you're dealing with maturity. It doesn't say that child or that guy or whatever. No, it says that man. So it's understood that there's a maturity aspect here. Now, I did some study. I had some fun studying out the phrase that man. And from Genesis all the way to Job, every time you see that phrase, that man, it's always in a negative connotation. Every single time. It's never good. And then from Job through the rest of the Old Testament, for the most part, it's in a decent connotation. And Psalm 40 fits right into that. It says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And so miserable people are immature. Blessed believers, those who know how blessed they are, walk in maturity. And something I want you to just understand here is that maturity is a choice. Maturity is a choice, and not just a choice, it's a choice for the individual. Notice he doesn't say, blessed are men, blessed are women, blessed are everybody. He doesn't say, no, that man. This is on an individual level. So the question for you, the question for me, is am I making the choice to walk in maturity? Because every person I know who is miserable all the time, they are immature. Every person I know that's like that. They just don't have any maturity, spiritually for sure, in their life. Now, I want to share a verse with you. It's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Easy, thank you. I appreciate it. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We know this verse. This is a discipleship verse for us. And what Mason was teaching this morning in our ministry tools and training class, and I would make a plug for that. Man, hop in on that. Please jump in on that. 9 o'clock in the morning, we have ministry tools and training. And one thing he was expounding and teaching on this morning is the importance of the word like and as. Now pay attention to this verse. It says, as newborn babes, right? Just like a baby that can never get enough, right? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, there's something I want to point out here. I think this is interesting. He says, you control that desire. That's what he's implying here. He's implying that you get to dictate what you desire. So desire is a choice in what we have a choice in what we desire. He's saying you need to desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That you may grow thereby. And so I'm just telling you, as a believer in Christ, as a saved individual, if you would say, yes, I'm saved, I know Christ, and you don't have a hunger and a desire for the word of God, then you don't desire to grow, and you are, therefore, immature. The only way for us to mature spiritually is to have a desire for the word of God. Well, I'm just going to wait for God to give me desires. I can't control my desire. That's not what the verse says. The verse says, as a newborn babe, in other words, study a child. Hang out in the nursery a little bit. Hanging out watching a parent with a brand new one. And look at that. That baby can never get enough. And as soon as it's consumed, what does it do? It rests in what it's received and expects it to grow it. So learn from the example. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. And that's up to you. I can't force that on you. As a teacher, as a preacher, as a proclaimer of truth, all I can do is present scripture to you, but you have to desire it. Amen? Am I the only one in the house? I need some help today, right? Listen, I know it's a holiday weekend. I know people are traveling. People are coming and going. Vacation time. I get that, but man, I need help. So he says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. All right, so that's the miserable person. The miserable person is immature. Let's talk about the blessed person. Here's your next blank. Blessed people understand that maturity is not the ability to do it all on your own, but rather the realization that you can't do it alone. That's true maturity. You see, the mature person says, I can't do this on my own. An immature person, you know this to be true. Every immature person you know, the first thing out of their mouth almost always is, I got this. No, let me do it. No, I want to do it. Just like a little kid who thinks they're mature, thinks they're growing up. No, I want to do it, right? Hey, let me help you put your shoe on. No, I want to do it. Let me help you tie it. I want to do it. You haven't learned how to tie your shoe. We're going to be here for 4 hours. If you're tying your shoes, we got to go, right? And so you go through the whole rigmarole, but yet you'll find people who've been saved for 20, 30 years still always want to do things on their own. I got this. I'm going to do this on my own. That's a mark of immaturity. A mature person understands, listen, I can't do anything on my own. I need help. I need the body of Christ. An immature person doesn't receive instruction. An immature person doesn't want anybody to help. Why? Because they don't want you to think that they don't know what they're talking about. A mature person is willing to say, I don't know what I'm talking about. That's the mark of maturity. He says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. The Lord is already the trust, right? The Lord is already worth being trusted in. No doubt about it. And yet a mature person says, I'm going to put it on him. He is my trust. I'm going to make him my trust. Everybody, is this making sense, everybody? Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? All right, so check this out. Psalm 121, verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That is the heart of a mature believer. That's the heart of somebody who's spiritually mature, is that everything is in submission to the Lord, and they know it because he's the one who made heaven and the earth. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through, my help comes from the Lord. Well, why are you trusting the Lord? Because he made it all. And anything I'm facing is already in submission to what he's done. And what can I face that isn't already in submission to him? That's the mark of maturity. Where an immature person says, I don't need you. I don't need the church. I don't need the body of Christ. I don't need the Lord. I'm going to do this on my own. And how does it always end up with somebody who's immature? It always ends up them with a ball on the floor throwing a temper tantrum. It always ends up with them crying, throwing a fit. All the parents said, amen. You know that's true. You know that's true because that's immaturity. But when you begin to desire the sincere miracle of the Word and get into the Word of God, you begin to see God for who he is and how he has set things up, you realize, wait a second, maturity says God's got this instead of I have this. So miserable people are immature. Now keep reading here in verse 4. It says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. That maketh the Lord his trust. Here's your next point. Is that miserable people dwell in failure. Well, how can you say that? Because miserable people don't have the Lord as their trust. If the Lord isn't their trust, they're going to fail every single time. They choose to dwell there. They choose to live there. They will always dwell in failure. Now, interesting way he words this, that maketh the Lord his trust. It doesn't say trust in the Lord, make the Lord his trust. In other words, trust is a noun. Let's go back to English class for just for a moment. Trust in this word, in this verse is a noun. It's a person or it's a location or it's a thing. In this essence, it's the Lord who happens to be in heaven, right? So it is a person in a location. And isn't it interesting that when you go through times of adversity, that is what truly reveals what you're trusting in. Times of adversity reveal who or what you're trusting in. All right, so I just went to youth camp. Had an absolute blast. I'm 100% exhausted. This is my, ninth message in less than a week. I'm really tired. But Wednesday, we went to Cedar Point. If you don't know what Cedar Point is, it is worlds of fun on steroids, right? Roller coasters everywhere. I mean, you can reach out and touch somebody. I mean, it is crazy, the amount of roller coasters and what have you. Well, we're walking all over the place, jumping on rides. I said, I'm down to go upside down, spin around. But the moment we go roundy, 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 I'm out, right? Because I'm smart enough to realize I can't do that. All right, so they said, oh, man, there's tons of roller coasters. We'll have a blast. That's all you'll ride. Okay, well, it's cool. Let's go do that. I'm not afraid to go upside down. And here's the guy. I hate heights. I can't stand them. And yet a roller coaster, I'm having a blast. Now, it's been a minute since I've been to a amusement park. Like, it's been a few minutes. Like, 15, 20 years. It's been a while. And I'm more than 15 pounds heavier than I was then, right? We're talking more like 60 pounds heavier than I was then. And so there's this ride, which I didn't necessarily want to go on, but I didn't want to be a punk. So I'm like, okay, if everybody else is going, I'm going. So I get on this thing, you do the whole Chevy, you get in, and then you pull the thing over your shoulders and just, you know, it pulls down. And I'm doing everything I can to get it as tight as possible, you know. And then you got the seatbelt thing, just like the fail-safe, the seatbelt thing. And I'm like, I'm missing just a little bit. Like, where's the extender to hook onto this thing? Like, I need a little bit of help. And so this dude comes up and says, hey, I got this. And he's like, zew! Like, shoves me, you know, just shoves hard to my belly. I said, now I have to pee. Thanks. He goes, he pulls down his mask. He says, you do that, we're fighting. I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. And he finally gets it buckled. I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm like, I can't breathe. And of course, every roller coaster, you know, and I'm just shaking like crazy. I'm like, I really have to go. This is bad. This is bad. Now we get all the way up and we start to do the whole tip thing, you know, and it does that tip and it goes tip, tip, tip and drops you. And then you hang there for like 3 seconds. It's the longest 3 seconds of my life. And I'm just like, Lord, I'm really trusting in this little thing that he had to shove on me to make sure that I was in, right? Like hit 1.7 Gs on the way down, you know, doing the whole flippity flip. Well, I'm scared. And I'm just holding on. I don't know what to do. As I reach to grab my thing, I hit the seatbelt thing, and it comes undone. And now I'm screaming, not because I'm having fun. I'm going to die. My wife's gonna kill me, right? I'm going through all of these mentalities. I'm like, oh Lord, I don't know what to do. And we're going upside down. I'm not having fun at all. Everybody else is like, woohoo. I'm like holding on to my neighbor, you know, doing whatever I possibly can. I found out real quick, in times of adversity, your trust is revealed. And I did not trust that thing. In my mind, there's that little click sound. I'm like old school 1980s, right? You know, Chevy Malibu, you make the click, you feel halfway safe. That click was undone. And so we pull up and the guy goes, what happened to your seatbelt? I said, it came undone. Not I undid it, it came undone. Anyway, times of adversity reveal who and what you trust. And that point came into reality for me. I'll be honest, I did not want to go on the next roller coaster after that. That's the last thing I wanted to do. So the last roller coaster, sorry, commercial break. The last roller coaster we get on, there is no seatbelt. There's no extra thing. I'm like, well, here we go. And when it comes down, I'm, you know, do the whole thing. I'm like, hey, what holds this together? And he goes, magnets. I said, oh, I'm putting my trust in a magnet on a wooden roller coaster. This is awesome. Fun times. It's going to be a while before I go back and do that. I'm going to lose a few more pounds. All right, so he says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And isn't serving the Lord a lot like a roller coaster? Isn't it? How many of you have been on a roller coaster? How many of you hate them with your passion, right? Okay, yeah, so. Serving the Lord's a lot like a roller coaster. I mean, you're like getting in line, you're figuring this whole thing out, and you don't go by yourself, you go in tandem with somebody else because you're a mature person, you realize I can't do this on my own. Will you hold my hand? Right? So you go in, and then it's just like you're being funneled in. There's a congregation, and then there's some that just say, you know what, I'm getting on the ride, I'm doing this. And then you got some who take the chicken exit, right? Every big roller coaster has a chicken exit. Right? So why would you stand in line for an hour and a half to get all the way to the top and then take the chicken exit? Why would you do that? And yet we see people do that all the time with serving the Lord. They're like getting the giant and they're going, they're like, yes, this is the way I want to go. And rubber meets the road. They go, I'm out. And they bounce and they have to go back in line. They have to do it again. But don't you get in the thing gets over and, right? You're in decent shape. So everything clicks like it's supposed to, right? This is awesome. And then you look over at your brother in Christ or your sister in Christ and says, this is going to be a blast. And she goes, I've been on this ride before. It's terrifying. And yet it's awesome. You're like, maybe I want off. Nope, too lad. You're already in. You can't lose your eternal security. You're secure. You're in. And so all of a sudden, oh, this isn't bad. Look at everything I see. Isn't that what it is when you start to serve the Lord? You're like, oh, look, everything's starting to be revealed to me. I'm starting to understand. Oh, I see the books of the Bible. I'm starting to understand things. And then all of a sudden, there's the top. And then you're like, oh, I can see for miles. The Lord, you're awesome. I'm having a mountaintop experience. You go all the way to the bottom, upside down, and you're doing this, and you're doing this, and you go to the coast, all kinds of crazy. And you go upside down, and you cut off to the stop. What just happened? I don't know. But I want to do it again. That's serving the Lord. That's what it means to serve the Lord. And so many times, we take the chicken exit and say, you know what, I'm not willing to go for that ride. I want to try something else. And we trust in anything other than the Lord. It says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And so you got people who, instead of trusting the Lord, they trust in their relationships. How many of you ever had a relationship that you stepped out on and it broke your heart because it failed? Anybody? Am I the only one? Four of you are honest. The rest of you are like, yeah, it's sitting next to me. Okay. So you step and you trust in these relationships, and you have, then all of a sudden this relationship fails. And here's the reality. God promises to be the secure relationship that you're desperately wanting. God promises to be that. Why would you go trust in a relationship when you need to put your trust in the Lord? And then you have those, oh my, I don't understand this. You're putting your trust in government. History says don't do that. The Bible says don't do that. Because government's going to fail you. Truth? And you can whine about it, you can cry about it, you can listen to talk radio all day long, it's not going to change anything. Government's going to fail you. Stop whining about it, stop tuning into that. You serve a king, his name's Jesus. And so God promises to be that stable authority that you desperately need. Some of you are trusting in structure or control. If I manipulate everything and I can just put everything in this little bubble, I'll control it and I'll have the structure and I'll have this control. Good luck with that. It's going to fail. It's going to fall apart. Whatever it is you're trying to structure, whatever it is you're trying to control, whatever you're trying to manipulate is going to rebel. It's going to go against you and it's going to fail. And here's what God promises. He promises to be the secure shelter to see you through the trials of life. He promises to be that for you. Why would you trust in your system? Why would you trust in your control? It's not going to work. And then you have those who say, you know what, I'm just going to trust in the bottle. I'm going to trust in the pill. I'm going to trust in the substance. I'm going to trust in what I see online. I'm going to trust in whatever it might be. Well, that's going to fail you every single time. And God promises to be the peace and that escape that you're looking for. He promises to be that. Why would you trust in anything else other than the Lord? Psalm 119, 114 says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Thou art my hiding place. That's the place I belong. I'm tired of running to my addiction. I'm tired of running to my porn. I'm tired of running to my alcohol or to my whatever it may be. Your work. We can become workaholics and try to hide there. It doesn't work. You're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to fail because this is what immature, miserable people do. They dwell in failure because they trust in anything other than the Lord. Well, that didn't work. I'll trust over here. Well, that didn't work. I'll go to the Rent-A-Center. That didn't work. I'll go over here. That didn't work. I'll do the payday loan. Don't buy that mess, right? Well, that didn't work. I'll go here. That didn't work. I'll go there. And you dwell in failure all the time because you have yet to come to the realization that the Lord is your hiding place. He is your shield and that your hope is in his word. In other words, there's security. There's truth in everything he says. And maybe you're saying, yeah, but Tony, I can't trust anybody. You don't understand. I can't trust anybody. Then I would just say, well, now you're finally getting it. You can't trust anybody except the Lord. Now, here's your next point. Bless people. Understand that spiritual maturity is the realization that the world will always fail me, but God will never fail me. That's a blessed person. Listen, you are blessed when you realize God's got this instead of I got this. You are blessed when you realize that the world is always going to fail you, and God will never fail you. He's never let you down. Never. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise. And if at any point in time God has failed you or forsake you, then throw your Bible away, go home. Because he lied to you. And yet that verse is still true, and it was written thousands of years ago. and it's true today. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. All right, so he says, verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, now check this out, and respecteth not the proud. And respecteth not the proud. Here's your next point, is that miserable people are enamored with pride. Oh, you know this to be true. People who are immature, people who have trust issues, they are enamored with pride. Here's what I mean by this, is that they live lives of failure, and so they are attracted to people who seem to be successful. And so if you're to grab their phone and start scrolling through the things that they watch on social media, or if you're to grab their remote and turn on the TV, I'm guaranteeing you, somebody who lives in misery, who isn't trusting the Lord, who always dwells in failure, somebody who says, I got this instead of the Lord has this, or we have this together, they're going to be attracted to watching those who are successful. That's why it's called TV programming, isn't it? Y'all, what program are you watching? It's programming you to want something that you don't have. That's what it's called, it's programming. And what do you watch? You watch somebody who's able to conquer everything, and they're able to, just, you know, the Marvel movies and all that. Man, look at all these people who are able to do things on their own. They're attracted to pride. They're attracted to those who are able to do things on their own. And so they're going to study, and they're going to read books, and they're going to do everything they can to follow somebody who seems to be successful. Hello, social media influencers. What are they called? Influencers. They're like, don't even hide it. They're trying to influence you. Influence how you dress, how you think, how you talk, how you do everything, right? So I was talking to Mason and a couple of people. This new trend is to walk around in a suit, go to movies, whatever. I'm calling y'all out. I'm at Cedar Point. It's 85, 90 degrees. It's hot. People are like passing out because it's so hot. And there are kids running around all over the place wearing suits because it's cool. It's the new thing to wear suits. That's stupid. I mean, that just makes no sense. What would cause you to do that? I saw it on TikTok. I saw it on the gram. They're doing it, therefore I must do it. Right? Some of you are like, what's TikTok and what's the gram? You're out. Don't worry about it. Just turn on TV. You're good. And yet you have people who are consumed with entertainment, and the entertainment they watch is always somebody conquering in their pride. Because miserable people are enamored with it. They just say, well, nothing in my life seems to work, therefore I must work out more. I gotta do it the way that they're doing it. I gotta get my side hustle. I gotta do all these different things that all these other people who seem to be successful, you know what they're successful at? Using you. The reason they're successful is because you're buying what they're selling. All right. The reality is the world is fueled by pride. And he says here in the verse, and respected not the proud. So a blessed person has no respect for the proud. A miserable person has massive amounts of respect for the proud. They're attracted to it. The world's fueled by pride, and it's always going against the Lord. Check this out. Job 41, verse 34. Job 41, verse 34, he beholdeth all high things. This is Lucifer. This is Satan. Leviathan that you're reading about in Job 41. Leviathan is Satan. I don't care what your Bible says. It's not a hippopotamus. It's not an alligator. It's definitely not a whirlpool. It's Satan. He beholdeth all high things. He's a king over all the children of what? Pride. So if you're dwelling in pride, you're enamored with pride, you are submitted to a wrong authority, you're submitted to Satan instead of to the Lord. Job 41, verse 34. Here's your next blank. Is that blessed people understand that they won't be happy. They'll never be happy. That's another word for blessed. They won't be happy when they're going the opposite direction of the Lord. Oh, you know somebody like that. You know people like that. They aren't happy. You know why they're not happy? They're never happy. They're always miserable. Because they're going the opposite direction of the Lord. Every single time. Well, what do you mean? The Lord is not amongst the proud. That's not where the Lord is. He's not amongst the proud. And everybody's pride everything today, isn't it? Everything. I don't care what you name it. I know some of you are thinking all kinds of different pride. Listen, just open your eyes and pay attention to everything that has to deal with pride, right? Mustang pride, Philly pride. I mean, everything, pride this and pride that. The Lord is not in it. Here's something to get. If everybody is going the same direction as you, you're going the wrong way. Get it? I get it. What? Can I get an amen? If everybody, when you look around and everybody's going the same way as you, you're probably going the wrong way. You're probably going the wrong way. Unless you're all serving the Lord together. You got to surround ourselves with people who are living in submission to the Lord. You see, an immature person is attracted to pride. A mature person is attracted to submission. Somebody who's a leader, the best leaders are those who are able to follow. All right. I've said this numerous times, but people drive me nuts. Right? I can't be the only one. And if you've ever spent time at an airport, it's worse than Walmart. Right? I finally do the whole airport thing, finally get off, finally get my bag, and I work my way outside to jump on the bus to take me to the economy parking, right? And there's a whole group of us sitting there, and I'm kind of doing the math, and we go, okay, there should be room for all of us, and that's cool. And yet there's this one lady who's just being obnoxious as all get out. She is trying to direct traffic, hollering, shouting. She's standing in the bus lane, won't let anybody park there. She's just being bossy, doing this whole thing. She's got a straight, flat, high-top haircut. Got her colorful mask on. She's doing her thing, right? She's just barking orders. And finally, there's this lady that says, just right there, would you shut up and get out of the way? I'm like, amen! That's what everybody else is wanting to say. And she goes, fine, just let everybody do their thing. We made it. It's fine, lady. Man, mature people are attracted to those who are in submission to the Lord. That's who I want to be around. James 4:6. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the what? Unto the humble. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now stop for a moment. Humility is not you thinking that you're less. That's not what humility is. Humility is not, I'm a loser. Humility isn't, I'm the worst person. Humility is not false humility. Humility is you don't even think about yourself at all. That's humility. That how that affected you doesn't even matter because it's about others. That's true humility. All right, let's land the plane here. It says verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respected not the proud. Look, check this out. Nor such as turn aside to what? Lies. Here's your next point. Miserable people, I can't say that word, miserable people follow after lies. That's where they follow. Turn aside to lies. The respect of the proud, that's entertained, that's watching. I can't take my eyes off of it. But here, we're following with our feet. We're turning aside. We're going from the truth towards lies. And we need to understand that this world will do everything it can to distract us from the truth. Won't it? This world will do everything it possibly can to distract you from the truth. What does that mean? What in your life is keeping you from spending time in this book? I guarantee it's worldly. 100%. Why? Because the world will always distract you from the truth. But not only that, the world will always do everything it can to offer you a different version of truth. Hello, Satan in the garden with Eve. I'll offer you a different version of the truth. Miserable people follow after lies. John 8, verses 44 and 45. Oh, we got to get this. I know it's small. John 8, 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. There's how much truth? None. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Where do the lies come from? It comes from Satan. And as Jesus is dealing with the Jewish believers, the Jewish people at the time, he said, listen, you are believing this lie. He says, and I'm, verse 45, I'm telling you the truth, and you don't believe me. You believe the lie, but you won't believe the truth. And maybe, just maybe, there's somebody in the room that hears everything we're talking about, and you don't buy it for a second because you bought into the lie. You bought into the lie so much that you can't even recognize what truth is. And you definitely don't want to submit to it. Lord, please get us out of that misery so that we can walk in true blessing, nor such as turn aside the lies. Last point. Bless people. Understand that they won't be happy when they are living a lie. Somebody you know who is miserable. They're not blessed. Because blessed people understand, if I live a lie, I will never be happy. If I pretend to be one thing when I'm not, I'm never going to be happy. All right, so just like if I'm going the same direction as everybody, I'm probably going the wrong way. If I'm saying the same things as what the crowd is saying, then I'm probably listening to what the world's lies instead of what the truth says. If I'm quoting the world, if I'm quoting what everybody else is saying, then I'm probably not speaking the truth. Well, we need to surround ourselves with people who believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Because according to John chapter 14, verse 6, that Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. That's a pretty bold statement. Do you understand just how blessed you really are? If you truly understand how blessed you really are as a child of God, why dwell and live your life in complete misery? And I can't stress this enough. No matter how much I beg, no matter how much I plead, no matter how much I try to manipulate, no matter how much I try to do it, I can't force you to be living a life of blessing. I can't. It's not possible. All I can do is choose to live a life of blessing. I can't force it on you. I can't manipulate it for you. It's that man, that woman. That's a choice you have to make. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to serve the Lord or not? Are you going to trust him or not? Is he going to be your trust or not? Are you going to be attracted to humility instead of pride? Are you going to be clinging to the truth instead of the lies? It's up to you. Your choice. I would say choose wisely, or you're going to be absolutely miserable. And here's the reality. You guys know this is true as well. You can't hide your misery. Amen? You can't hide it. And so now, you know, when you're interacting with somebody and they're always, woe is me. Hey, how you doing? Oh, this is going on. Grow up. It's time to grow up. You're acting like a little child. And that's on you, what you're going to do with it. It's time to mature and grow up. Amen? Let's stand together. So here's what I'm going to ask. Why don't everybody just take about 20, 30 seconds. Just seek the Lord's face. We started off asking God to speak to us. I'm sure God's spoken to you in one way, some shape, some form. Take 20, 30 seconds. Just seek the Lord's face. I'm going to pray and we'll be dismissed. And then don't forget, tonight out at the Endicott's, I wasn't planning on that. You're invited. Come. You're going to miss out. Well, I like to do things on my own. That's what miserable people do. They do things on their own. Don't be miserable. We need the body of Christ. So take 20, 30 seconds, pray, seek the Lord's face. I'll pray. We'll be out of here. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, just a simple verse tucked away in the Psalms. Lord, there's so much truth contained in it. And Lord, I thank you for the message, Lord, that we received, that we heard from you. Lord, I pray we would not just be hearers, but doers. Lord, I thank you that we live in a country, as of yet, that allows us to walk in that freedom to serve you. Lord, I pray that we would not squander that. Lord, I pray that we would not take that for granted. Lord, I pray that we would walk according to your truth and taking steps of faith, Lord, as you are our trust. Lord, I pray we would live a blessed life instead of a miserable one. We ask all this in the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Find five people, give them a high five, tell them you love them.